Hello and welcome. It's our number one, of our radio program. Hope all is well in your world. And we're back at it again in the magic radio box / podcast machine. This recorded overnight on terrestrial radio, repackaged with limited commercial interruption in the podcast format. So what are your takeaways from the Patriots squeezing past the Bills? We'll talk about the fallout from Monday night in a winter wonderland with the wind, the cold, occasional snow. Mac Jones only attempting three passes. That's it. Did Mac Jones' Rookie of the Year campaign take a hit as the Patriots were able to win with him being a non-factor? We discussed that and much more right now in our number one. Well, it turns out that one bill is better than 11 bills. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we bring home the bacon coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from another dimension, a dimension of only sound and mind, to the boundaries of imagination, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location somewhere in the Northwoods. Hope all is well. We had a Monday Night Football game that did not suck. It was a good matchup. It was a close matchup. And that's where we lead our radio show together here in a wind tunnel. That would be Orchard Park, New York. A key AFC matchup, Bill Belichick leading the Patriots traveling party into the shores of Lake Erie there, 36 degrees at kickoff. It felt like it was in the mid-20s, so right around 25 degrees, give or take, and got colder as the night went on, and the wind was blowing. It was snow, but it didn't stick to the ground. It was a winter wonderland. Gusts up to 55 miles an hour. And cold, 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 bone-chilling cold. And it's only going to get worse as we get further and further into the calendar. And remember, the NFL regular season does not end now till January 9th. So you get an extra 10 days or so of cold, cold, cold weather. But as far as the Bills and the Patriots, did you watch? I can't assume that you watched. Maybe you were sleeping because you worked the late shift and you missed the game. Don't worry. We watched so you would not have to. Damon Harris rumbling and stumbling for 111 yards on only 10 carries and a touchdown. He got hurt. He got hurt. And then Ramondre Stevenson came in and he added 78 more on the ground as the Patriots led from pillar to post and they get a 14-10 win in a bad weather game on Monday Night Football. So they continue on as the number one overall seed in the American Football Conference. And let us discuss the question. What are the takeaways from the Patriots using the wind to squeeze past the Bills? So I've got Bronze Age, AWOL, and Sword. And we will combine all of these things together and make a passable Maller monologue. Now, it's pretty obvious that Bill Belichick did some inventory. And he looked around. He checked the weather app, assuming he has a smartphone. We think he does. Or he went on weather.com and looked up the forecast. He then looked at Mac Jones, and he made, at that point, a pivot. He made a calculated decision that he was not going to allow that guy to use the forward pass. He was going to eliminate the forward pass almost altogether. That Mac Jones' deficiencies in throwing the ball in bad weather would be a liability for the Patriots. So rather than even attempt it, let's limit it to one throw for the first three quarters of the game and only a couple of extra throws after that. New England was the epitome of a one-dimensional offense. They took the game of football back to the Bronze Age. Had not seen a game like this since 1983. A team had not won like this at the levels the Patriots ran the football and did not attempt to throw the ball since the early 1970s. I'm getting old, and it's before I was even around. The key to winning bad weather games, the formula is well known. It is not a secret. It is not hidden. You don't need to bring in a Rosetta Stone to win a bad weather game. It is a machismo game. It's a toughness game, right? Run the ball. Stop the run. And do a good job on special teams. Don't allow any big kick returns to the opposition to give them great field position. Check, check, check. The Patriots checked all three boxes. They loaded up the fat guys up front and went with a stable of running backs, more than one. Every man, woman, and child watching this knew the situation. Damon Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, after Harris got hurt, and a couple of other players as well, ran the ball down the throat of the Bills. Defense right there. A defense which statistically was among the very best in the NFL, but New England ended up with 46 carries for 222 yards. That is emasculating for the Buffalo defense. And the Bills had 8 and 9 defenders up front because they knew that the Patriots were going to run the ball. And still, the Patriots were able to do enough by taking away the pass from their offense to win a game against what is supposedly a highfalutin defense in Buffalo. Holy cannoli, Mike. If you're the Bills, Bills Mafia, you need to call a meeting. You have to call a meeting. How do you lose that game? How do you lose that game? Now, part B of this, for the Bills, right, to only score 10 points, and it's really worse than that, it's football malpractice, especially considering that 7 of those points were gifted, at least 6 of them, were gifted from the Patriots. N'Keal Harry muffed a punt. It's not the Aussie muffed it. It's the American muffed it. And N'Keal Harry, remember he wanted a trade before the season, and then his agent made a hullabaloo, and people realized nobody really wanted N'Keal Harry. So he's with the Patriots still. And it bounced, and then it bounced a second time off his helmet. And then that handed the Bills the ball at the New England 14-yard line. And that just provided a one-play touchdown pass drive to get points. So that means the other 9 drives that the Bills had in this game, they scored a total of 3 points the rest of the game. And the Bills were able to get the ball down. They were able to move the ball down inside Patriot territory. And the Bills' running game completely vanishing in the wind. They blew away somewhere over the water. They're gone. And so this game was an opportunity for Josh Allen to step up. This way, it's too windy. I disagree. Josh Allen went AWOL. He's the guy with the big contract. He's not the rookie. He's the franchise quarterback. And it is his responsibility. Right? Big contract comes with big shoes to fill. Josh Allen got the $258 million contract. Congratulations. I hope you invest in the stock market, a little real estate, maybe a little crypto. You'll do very well. But you play quarterback in Buffalo. Hello! You are judged by how you play in cold, windy, snowy games late in the season, December and January games against the Patriots. You're not playing for a dome team. You're not hanging out on the West Coast where the weather's always great. You're in stinking Buffalo. You're going to have to play well in those games. This was a measuring stick game. Spoiler alert! Josh Allen failed. His numbers overall were even misleading. We mentioned the giveaway, the touchdown, which was a gift from the Patriots, turning the ball over, N'Keal Harry muffing the punt at the 14-yard line. From the second through the fourth quarter, Josh Allen had bupkis at 121 yards passing, 45% completion percentage. Well, it was The wind. It's the wind. Well, yes, it's the wind, but you've got to get points. You've got to, for that offense to really, what I think legitimately only 3 points. Now, they did miss a field goal, but that is unacceptable. The Bills were marching around before the season about how they are among the elites in the NFL, and that what happened in 2020 was not a fluke, that Buffalo is here to stay, that they have marked their territory like a dog. The Bills urinated on their territory, that they're here to stay. Well, they don't look like the kind of team that is here to stay with this kind of performance from Josh Allen as the franchise guy. And bad, bad, bad. I mean, he was able to get the ball inside Patriot territory, but unable to complete the journey. And you start looking around now, and you see the Bills, and they have a 7-5 record. And remember, they began the year losing to Pittsburgh, and now when you look around and look at the resume of the Bills, and they rolled off 4 wins in a row, and they were sitting at 4-1, feeling pretty good about themselves. Since then, it has gone loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. They are the definition of average, the Buffalo Bills. Might I remind you, they also lost to Jacksonville. When you lose to Jacksonville, you can lose to anyone. And they've yet to win a close game, despite having 7 wins and having played now 12 games. The Bills are the only team in the NFL that have yet to win a close game. That is an indictment on Buffalo also. So they can blow people out. Yeah, they can put up 40-something points against Washington or 45 against the Jets. And they can blow the doors off the Saints. But if you keep it close in the fourth quarter, you're going to win. The Bills are not going to win. That's at least the way it's been so far. All right, last word here. So the Patriots, as the number one seed in the AFC, and this win validated that is legit, right? They validated it to win in that environment, to win the way they did. And now, do the Patriots have the fear factor? I was talking to a friend. I was actually texting. I don't talk to anyone other than you when I do the show, but I was texting a friend, and we're going back and forth, and he's a big Patriot guy, and he said, oh, yeah, the Patriots are all the way back. And I'm like, yeah, they're back, but I don't think they're all the way back yet. I'm not at that point. I'm not ready to go to that point. And I'm on Team Belichick. But I look at the Patriots, and I'm like, yeah, the AFC is very packed up. It's like a horse race where you're turning the corner, coming down the stretch, and there's like three or four horses. Hopefully you're not at Santa Anita, because 3 or 4 of the horses would die. But the horses are all bunched up side by side, and they're ready to come down the stretch. And so the Patriots right now happen to be a length ahead of the other teams, and they're gaining more accolades and more rat poison by the day. The media will be slobber, slobber, slobber all over the Patriots for the next couple of days. And nobody is going to want to go into Foxborough in January and play a playoff game. But my devil's advocate argument is this, that Mac Jones throwing 3 times is a double-edged sword. It's great that New England showed grit, gravel, and grime to win that game. But it is unsustainable to say that even at home, going into a playoff game, that formula is going to work. And this is a very windy game. I don't know how many of those games you're going to get in Foxborough. You get a lot of snow, a lot of sleet and whatnot. The wind was the big determining factor in this. But you can't hide the quarterback in every cold weather game. In small doses, yeah, it'll work now and again. But it's not realistic when you play your home games in an icebox. The other question I had, did Mac Jones' Rookie of the Year campaign gain ground or lose ground because of this performance? Did it take a hit? And I say to a certain degree it did, because this fuels the argument that Mac Jones is a passenger and he's not the one driving the bus, that he's a more of a bystander and he's not the one that is in charge of everything, and he's more of a byproduct of Bill Belichick. So I think this actually does do damage to Mac Jones. Now, the question is, who's going to catch Mac Jones? And that's a tough one. I mean, there's a couple of defensive guys that have put up some big numbers as rookies, but usually we have a huge bias towards offensive players, and Mac Jones is still, I would say, in the lead in that category. And often what happens at the end of the year is people just look at the total body of work and they don't look at specific moments. But I would say if you actually judge Mac Jones just based on this and add it to the resume, you'd say this is not something that you would want to brag about on your resume as a quarterback, that you were good at running back and handing off to the right and the left. Because I think there are many guys who right now have regular jobs that were high school quarterbacks that could probably do the same damn thing. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. We're going to hear some post-game sound here a little late on the monologue, so we'll catch you up on the clock. If you want to be part, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. You can join the Festivus of Talk. We will hear from some of the combatants in the Buffalo locker room. And also we had a meltdown against the media. And this actually does come out of the Bills locker room. And we will play the audio for you as the Bills not comfortable with the interaction with the media. And a couple of their players were gobsmacked, thunderstruck. They were really unhappy with one member of the media, and they were taking their rage out on that reporter. We'll get to that. Take your calls. Also on Twitter, give us real-time feedback, at Ben Maller. We'll get to it all, and we will do it next. I'm not up on my Johnsons.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know Eddie Garcia and Coop de Loop Cooper. Roberto Flores is simply super. But do you recall the most bloviating of all?
We believe it. We believe in the power of the people of the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Take a few seconds to follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow me, Eddie Garcia, your humble sidekick, the voice of reason. I'm at Eddie on Fox. Former NBA player, Air Canada. He played 24 years in the NBA. Great dunker out of North Carolina. Raptors, Nets, Hawks.
James Worthy.
I don't even know what the hell he said.
He said James Worthy, one of the great Toronto Raptors of all time. I loved him with the Raptors. He played with Hakeem Olajuwon.
Big game James. Boy, that's a good one, Roberto. I don't remember that one. We'll have more great answers just like that on Maller's Mountain of Money in Hour 3 of the program. But until then, live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Are you going to be okay, Eddie? I mean, the big news. Are we allowed to talk about the big news of the company? I don't know.
I don't even know what the big news is.
Oh, it's going to affect your life, Eddie.
Oh, Eddie,
are we allowed? Can we? It's out.
I
think it's out.
I walked in.
What?
Oh, Coop doesn't know. He didn't know either until he showed up. Are we allowed to talk about it on the air? I don't want to get in trouble with management.
See,
that's a lot.
I delete these emails without. Oh, like,
I also do. I delete
my work email yet.
Oh, Eddie.
Oh, Eddie. Bad job by you. This is going to affect your life, and it's going to cost you.
I'm super excited about it.
It's great news for Roberto. It's marginally better news for me, although it doesn't really affect me that much. It affects you a lot. I think it'll... I'm not sure about Coop. It might help Coop out a little bit, depending on...
Nope.
It will hurt Coop. I'm told... I'm now... A voice in my head says it will hurt... Well, let's just announce it. I don't care. I'm going to announce it, Roberto. Big news! After 20 years in the Sherman Oaks neighborhood of Los Angeles, the San Fernando Valley, Fox Sports Radio is packing up, and we're on the move in 2022, relocating to a new studio setup in Burbank. So that guy that calls up and always says, Burbank? We're moving to Burbank.
Many blocks in Burbank.
Yeah. Big news.
So I'll be getting a slight raise to pay for the gas I'm going to have to spend now? Why are you laughing?
Well, by the time 2022, when we move in August of 2022, gas will be $7 a gallon. So it'll even go up. So you might want to just hoard gas right now at $5 a gallon in California. And then you can
get a Prius, Eddie.
Well, I already have a hybrid, so I mean,
yeah.
Well,
then don't.
Wait, this is further for you, Eddie.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. He's Eddie's a beach guy.
Yeah, Eddie's.
Eddie lives near the port of L.A., where the reason there's a supply shortage is because of where Eddie lives. All the boats are at the harbor, yeah, L.A.
Like,
harbor.
It's like D-Day out there.
Yeah, they're just sitting out there. Do those guys have to stay on the boats when they're out in the? Does somebody have to stay
somebody
on
has
them?
To. Somebody has to, yeah. You can't just have How boring nobody must out there.
Well, why? Who's going to steal the stuff? It's in the middle of the damn Pacific Ocean.
You can't have
steal
a multi-million-dollar vessel with millions of dollars in cargo just sitting out there with nobody on it.
What is? Do they have carjackings in the Pacific Ocean or boat jackings? Is that happening, Eddie?
I doubt it. I'm just telling you.
All right.
Eddie.
How far would you get in one of those boats anyway? Those things are massive.
You wouldn't steal the boat. You would go on and steal all the stuff on the boat and then leave in your boat.
Yeah, probably. But isn't that the Somali pirate move?
Yeah. You know, it might be a little bit further for the two of us, but take a look, Eddie. It's a good thing we're leaving.
Wait, is your mic broke? His mic's broken. Tweet that out, Coop.
Well, let me just point out that the company, and again, I don't want to speak for management. They're very powerful people. They're very important people that run the company, and I am a pimple on an elephant's ass is what I am. But there's a great quote from Hunter S. Thompson, the late great deep thinker, who talked about the way life should be lived, and it's really the philosophy the company has when it comes to the studio. The quote was that life should be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a should not be a journey trying to arrive safely, and I'm trying to paraphrase this, with a preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming wow, which is what we have done with the equipment at the main studio here at Fox Sports Radio. So big news, Eddie. I can't believe it. I didn't find out about it either, but I did get an email because I don't check. I never check the company email. So management knows they have to reach out to me. Otherwise, I will not ever read any of the emails because I learned a valuable lesson January 20th of 2009. I forget exactly what happened, Eddie, but that day, that's the day I stopped checking my email.
We got a Chick-fil-A and a Raising Cane's next door, Eddie. Don't
that's
worry.
An upgrade.
Hey. Yep.
We're leaving behind the crazy chicken, but we are upgrading.
Ben's going to start driving into the studio.
Well,
the Raising Cane's is not open yet, but it should be done soon.
Well, let me know when it's open. Will it be open by August of 2022?
Yes.
Okay, good. And they're open late, Eddie. Well, they've got Maller show overnight friendly hours. Not that we eat that late anymore.
No,
but,
never. Wink, wink.
I mean, it's great. But we are further away. There's give and take with these things. Further away from Fat Sal's. So sandwiches will be a little colder. Unfortunately, but life's a game of give and take.
Well, Fat Sal's has a number of locations. Is there any closer to that one?
I think the Hollywood location might be a little closer. Go over the hill, I think.
Yeah,
but then you get stuck in the Hollywood
traffic.
Right, That's the problem, though.
Well, I mean, at the time that we're on, you could do that.
But if there's anything going on at the Hollywood Bowl over there, it's a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can't get over the hill. It's game over. Game over. Anyway, that's the big news with us. And Eddie didn't even know about it, and Coop didn't know about it, and I only found out about it like an hour before the show. But Roberto knew about it. How long have you known about it, Roberto?
When I woke up around 2:30 Pacific time.
Okay. I got you. Now we get back to the regularly scheduled programming, and did not plan on doing a whole segment about moving a studio, but we did. We just did that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I just heard a promo about this. I guess it was Gottlieb was talking about it. I don't
know. You actually listen to the promos?
Well, you kind of can't help it. I mean, they're in your ear all the time.
I tune them out, usually, unless I mention.
He was talking about the Heisman Trophy, and the Heisman Trophy finalists for this year have been announced. They are defensive end Aiden Hutchinson from the University of Michigan, the rare defensive player. The rest are all quarterbacks. Kenny Pickett of Pittsburgh, C.J. Stroud of Ohio State, and the big favorite to win it, Bryce Young of Alabama. Those are your four finalists, or excuse me, five finalists. Wait a second. That's four. One, two, three, four. Four finalists for this year's Heisman Trophy. I can count. Sometimes.
Mark tape on that. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Eddie. Good luck to all. And I do agree. The luster, though, the Gottlieb take was that the luster of the Heisman Trophy is lacking.
You wouldn't say that if you had a Heisman vote.
That is true. So if Steve Hartman wants to give me a Heisman vote, I will change my position. Now, the John R. Wooden Award, that the most coveted award in all of sport. And I will cast my ballot at the end of the college basketball season. Looking forward to that. Double O Mexican writes in from San Diego. He says, A- on the Mallard monologue. The Bills look like every other AFC team. One game they look like a contender. The next game they lose to a bad team. Mac Jones will be exposed in the playoffs. Well, it's hard for him to be exposed if they don't allow him to throw the ball. It's very hard. Very hard. Viper Dante writes in. He says, a little late, but spectacular job by the amazing Mallard. And he says, the answer to the first Who Am I game question is Browning Nagel. Well, no, I have not asked the first Who Am I game question. I have not. Matthew Warrior Raider A's fan says, A- on the monologue. Mallard monologue, the way that game played out, that monologue wrote itself. I doubt you even broke a sweat writing out your talking points. Easiest opening monologue of the year, F. Altuve. Yeah. Well, we saw where the game was headed. Emmett, the blind Seahawk fan, said, nice monologue. This was a solid football game filled with crappy weather. The Bills have no run defense. I do have to say I feel like Josh Allen should get used to this horrible weather. Because this is his home stadium. And also, did Eddie say Jake Allen during the update? Well, Emmett, we'll have to go back and play the audio. By the way, I made a cameo appearance.
Yes, I did. Spoiler alert.
Okay. I made a cameo appearance, Eddie, on Emmett, the Blind Side podcast with Emmett. This guy's really good, Eddie. You got to do his podcast. He wants you on the podcast. He said he wants to book Eddie on the podcast. That's what he told me.
All right.
I did it. I went on there. Remember when you promised to do that radio show with, what's his name? A guy that had the college
Sirius
radio
show.
Sirius Sean. Yeah. Sirius Sean.
I was about to do it, and then he got kicked off the air.
For foul language, right?
Yeah. No, it was some weird thing. I didn't really understand it. He didn't explain it very well, so it could have been. Who knows what the real story is.
Well, Emmett was great. Kept me for the full hour, Eddie. Full hour hot talk. And right before the Patriot game with the Bills, that's what I was doing. I was hanging out, shooting the you-know-what with Emmett, who's a super fan. He loves Fox Sports Radio, Emmett. And it blew me away, Eddie, and this will blow you away also. We have been at Fox Sports Radio longer than Emmett has been alive. He's in high school. He's 18 years old. We've been here longer than Emmett has been on the planet.
But
with the exception of six months, 26 days. But outside of those 6 months and 26 days, that's that. Lou in SoCal disagrees with the Mallard monologue. He says, you're wrong, Ben. Josh Allen did not lose the game. Bill Belichick won it. Well, Lou, see, the premise is that most games are lost. They're not won. And if you're at home and you're on a bad weather team and you're the $258 million quarterback, you got to get me more than 3 points. And really, I only give Josh Allen credit for 3 points because the muffed punt by N'Keal Harry, that was a gift. Is what that was. All right, now we have audio. We do have some post-game audio here. Let's hear from Sean McDermott, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and you'll hear the question and the answers about the up and down nature of his football team.
Where do you see the inconsistencies of the lack of execution at those points?
Just sloppy football. I mean, you name it. Pre-snap penalty, just no rhythm. No rhythm really down there.
You got to have rhythm. You got to have that in a lot of things in life, not just football. You need to have rhythm. Here's more from Coach McDermott on the lack of an ability to run the football.
We're going to try our darnest to fix it. It's tough, Joe. I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you guys. I mean, to fix that part of a game, of your game, this part of the year is tough. You know, that's why we try like heck to do it in training camp. That's where you develop the toughness of the football team, and that's why we run the football in training camp.
Yeah. It's great to run it in training camp. You might want to try to do it in December. That's just a little advice there. Here's more from Sean McDermott there talking about the credit to the opponent and the credit as he sucks up to the other coach.
Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me when they start with the average starting, when we start with the average starting field position of the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they were 0-for-1 in the red zone, you give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances.
Yeah. How'd that work out? So I got an email from an old listener who used to be a regular caller, but he quit the show. He quit calling the show. He couldn't handle the stress of calling the show. Mark, the full name guy, and he said, there is nothing you enjoy more than calling out a high-salaried athlete about a disappointing performance. And that is true. That is absolutely true. Schadenfreude is a term that is used. I have noticed, though, that you're allowed to rip Josh Allen, but some of these other guys I rip, people call you all names. You can't. Certain guys are not allowed to rip. Josh Allen, you're allowed to take shots at. So there's a bit of a double standard on that with some. But now let's get to the audio. We have some amazing audio here. Let's get to the good stuff. So the Buffalo Bills, we mentioned in the monologue, you saw the game here, if you heard the game on the radio, if you consumed the Patriot-Bills game, with a novice level of knowledge of football, then you realize that everyone watching, everyone in the stadium, every coach, every player knew exactly what the Patriots were going to do. The element of surprise, which is supposedly a big part of football, right? You don't know what the other team's going to do and you hide the playbook and all that. Well, everyone knew what the Patriots were going to do. They were going to run right, left, or up the middle and figure it out based on where they were lined up, the hash mark, what they were going to do. And so the fact that a team had not lost like this, in this fashion, in like 40 years, is a tremendous kick to the nuts of the Buffalo Bills. But Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde were asked about that, and they snapped at a member of the media for having the gall, for having the chutzpah to ask whether or not they were embarrassed. We have the audio tape. Let's go to the audio tape. Here's how that interaction sounded moments after the Bills had lost to the Patriots.
Over 40 years since the team has won a game running that two times in a game, passing that two times. Is that embarrassing?
I mean, what kind
Boy,
of question?
Boy, what are we doing, bro?
Bro!
What kind of question is that?
It's a question. The nation's going to be criticizing you of calling yourself. All
right. I think we, I think we keep
all right.
7 points.
Yeah,
14 to 10.
Is that the final score?
We made stops when we had to. They had one big run. I mean, they got good backs. They kept coming back, took a couple runs. I mean, I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
That's funny. Well, we'll remember that. I'll remember that.
Oh yeah, he's like Mad Dog, and Micah Hyde's like Mad Dog in the report. I'll remember that. We'll remember that. Like that reporter's now been ostracized from the cool kids club. How dare you ask us an offensive question? Here's the way you should have answered the question, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. We sucked. We were terrible. It was embarrassing. Everyone knew they were going to run the ball, and we did not do a good enough job stopping them. And we're going
to
do a better job next time.
That you can't suck.
It's not that hard. You know, we all have good and bad days. It's not that difficult. Why is it so difficult to admit when you're bad? I do many radio shows. Most of them suck. And I come back and I do another show. I have a terrible monologue. I you know what I do? I do another monologue and I make it better. It's ridiculous. All right, straight ahead, we're going to have the NBA pick'em, and here is the Who Am I game. Now, I was going to give a question about the Patriot-Bills game, but then I realized the answers are all over the place, so I'm going to make it a little harder. So the Miami Dolphins linebacker Jalen Phillips has 6 sacks in the past 3 games, including 5 sacks in the past 2 contests. Phillips is the first NFL rookie since me to have at least six sacks in a 3-game span. Again, Jalen Phillips, a linebacker out of UCLA for the Dolphins, 6 sacks the past 3 games. Phillips becoming the first NFL rookie since me to have at least 6 sacks in a 3-game span. Who am I? The answer in the NBA pick 'em. We'll get to that. We will do it next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Silent night, night without bend, grumbling strife once again. Eddie's making it up as he goes.
Nothing good happens after midnight unless you listen to the Ben Maller Show. Join the fastest growing club on Fox Sports Radio. You can follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And on Instagram, it's at Ben Maller on Fox. And you can add your touch to weekly show bits like Ask Ben and Lame Jokes. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And at some point here, we will debut a new tune. Have yourself a Maller Little Christmas.
Wow.
Making its first ever play on the show. A new holiday song from Just Josh and Jay Scoop. Look forward to that coming up at some point here through the overnight. If you have to leave the show, you can download the podcast and listen and join the fun. But time now for the Who Am I game with the NBA Pick'em on tap. Jalen Phillips, he's a linebacker out of UCLA for the Dolphins, rookie, has 6 sacks the past 3 games. Phillips, the first NFL rookie since me to record at least 6 sacks in a 3-game span. Who am I? That is the question. What's the answer? Militia Twitter King says Dr. Jack Kevorkian is the selection. Joey Porter, guessed by Oscar, and Milkman Mike in Colorado says it is Rachel in Montebello. Rachel is the correct selection. Matt, the Warrior Raider Ace fan, clearly cheating. Got this right. Bad job by you. Mr. Nice Guy going with Chris Mullen with the shocked face look as the answer. Peter Falk's optometrist, guessed by David in Seattle, who knows where all the good restaurants are. Rob in Vegas going with Hillbilly Jim. Reggie White, the Minister of Defense from the Raider Freak. That's his answer. Jim Plunkett from Alf, the alien opiner, the recent birthday boy, he says. Dante's going with our Fox Sports Radio teammate, LeVar Arrington, as his answer. Jason in Denver says Jordan Poyer's hot wife, Jason, is the answer. Screaming Possum says the answer is Ralph Irvin, saying the Suns and Warriors are the best NFL teams in his update during the last show. Did that happen? I missed that. Great moments in audio content from Wreck-It Ralph. And I did get asked again about Ralph storming into the studio when he got upset with Justin in Cincinnati and hanging up on everyone in a fit of rage. Bit of rage. Who else do we have? Let's see. Page down. Antonio Cromartie, guessed by Miguel on Fire. That's his answer. Mr. Wright says Rob Manfred sucks and is ruining baseball as the answer. Okay. Gumby Dave going with Derek Thomas. Do you have an answer, Eddie, please?
Yeah, I'm going to go with former Ram great Bubba Smith.
Bubba. No, that is incorrect. It's not salt, Eddie. It's pepper. Julius Peppers, back in 2002, many, many years ago, for the Carolina Panthers. Julius Peppers is the answer. Fun fact. There you go. All right, and it is time now for the NBA Pick'em Daily Fantasy. Whoever gets the most fantasy points will be declared the winner. It's a hard card on a Tuesday, light night in the NBA, but we're going to do basketball anyway. We do hockey on Thursdays, and we're creatures of habit. So with the first pick, I won!
Well, Ben, you get the first pick, but I'm not adding a win to your tally.
Why not?
Because you cheated. You picked out of order.
I did not cheat out of order.
Oh, my God. Ben cheated again.
It is a free-for-all, Coop.
No, you picked out of order.
It is a free-for-all, Coop.
And so you would not have had that player.
When Eddie took forever.
And a cheater, pumpkin eater.
It's always been a free-for-all when we run out of time. We're going
to
run out of time again. We're going
to
run out of time again.
Add to your tally.
I can't believe Ben cheated again.
Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks. Go ahead, Coop.
I don't know. This game is
Russell Westbrook.
Not right
terrible pick. Roberto.
Anthony Davis.
Laker historians. Eddie, back to back, Eddie.
Julius Randle and Jason Tatum.
All right, Roberto.
Let's go with LeBron James. Man.
Oh, my God. Coop.
James Harden.
Oh, all right. I'll take Kevin Durant. I don't think he's been picked. And who else? Let's see. Who else? How about has Randle been picked? Jason
Tatum.
You're disqualified
again. Disqualified. I already picked him. You're disqualified again.
Mitchell Robinson.
Porzingis.